Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Tim Rocky here in the Radio Free Palmer studio with a very special guest. Special guest, introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. I am Peyton Gerritsen. I am one of Rocky's former players for the Palmer baseball team, and I am a big, big sports enthusiast. So I'm here. I'm happy to be here today.
Peyton has no life just like me. Okay, that's a little.
Okay. We need to start off a little bit better than that.
That's a little, you know, a little too honest, but Peyton has a passion and enthusiasm for sports such as I do, and he's been bugging me about this since I had him on live radio at the fair, and he was just like, yo, Rocky, when we get in the studio, Rocky.
It's more fun than you expect. Like, it was a lot of fun. It's my first time doing it over there, and it was fun.
I always tell people there is no drug like live radio. But
for sure.
So Peyton has found that out firsthand. We're going to do kind of what we always do on this show every Tuesday evening, but we're going to do it, with Peyton in the studio this time. Gonna have some sports, some news, some jazz, some blues, rock little numbers, news and nonsense. And Peyton is a former football player, former baseball player. We're gonna talk to him about both of those seasons that are in full swing. Baseball, more, you know, swing appropriate with the mm-hmm. pun there. But I don't know. We might throw some hockey in there. We might throw some basketball. We might ask him about women's softball and 3-on-3 basketball in the Olympics. It's going to get crazy. It's going to get crazy. We just know that's all we know is that it's going to get crazy. So keep it tuned right here at 89.5 FM, Big Cabbage Radio. welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. It's Tim Rocky in the studio with Peyton Gerritsen. We're going to stick with the Bon Jovi theme. We're rocking out in the studio. I think that's a good way to go. Ain't nothing wrong with that. He's got a lot of bangers. We're just going to roll Bon Jovi through the show. So, Peyton played baseball for me formerly. He also played football. Might have been a better football player than baseball player. You never know.
Definitely.
But, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. It's definitive.
Definitely.
He knows a thing or two, so we're going to talk a little bit about football and how crazy the NFL has been this year. A lot of injuries, a lot of weird teams getting wins that you really would never expect to be. I mean, the Jets almost. All right, I'm gonna let you do it. I'm gonna let you, you know, take over.
Okay.
Tell me what happened this week. Who scored what wins?
All right. So currently, right now on Monday, we got the Colts Titans game. Colts are up 10-6. Almost into the second quarter. That's not a surprise. The Eagles beat the Panthers, which I kind of thought they were going to.
That was set up to be a good game, though. I mean,
yeah.
Number three offense against number three defense. Cam Newton didn't do a whole lot, but he did enough to make it interesting.
Right.
Carson Wentz is just a stud now.
Oh, he's amazing. And that year when Jared Goff went number one and Carson Wentz number two, I always, you know, Jared Goff wasn't very good at Cal. And, I mean, he was good, but definitely not number one pick.
But he was the project quarterback.
Yeah.
And Wentz was the defined winner in a pro-style offense who already had, you know, knew what he was doing. He was just from the football bowl subdivision.
Right.
Why nobody wanted a piece of him.
Right, and I completely agree. And he's turned out to be an awesome quarterback. He's going to be their franchise quarterback for a long time. The Dolphins beat the Falcons, which I did not see
coming. Nobody saw coming. I did not pick that game.
No.
I have Devontae Freeman on my fantasy team. He scraped together, you know, barely enough to make him worth the start, but the Dolphins, especially the Dolphins with Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler, man. That guy, I don't know if you can get any quarterback that cares less than that man. and yet you still give up 20 points when you had a 17-point lead. And it's unbelievable. But that's just Falcons fashion, just like last year's Super Bowl. We got the Bears over the Ravens. That was another good one.
Also, a what the heck happened game. So is Mitchell Trubisky the real thing?
I don't know. I definitely think he is a step up from their previous quarterback. I believe it was Glennon.
Glennon?
Yeah, Glennon. Definitely a step up, and especially with these young. I mean, he was 8 for 16 with 113 yards today and a touchdown, which isn't great by any means.
You know, those are not blow-you-away numbers, but he
definitely
got the W.
Yeah.
They measure quarterbacks by wins,
exactly.
And he got the W.
Exactly. And, I mean, Joe Flacco's two interceptions did not help. He's 24 for 41 with 180 yards, so he's definitely not
That's
very well.
That offense, though, has never been designed to have Joe Flacco throwing the ball 41 times.
No,
They've fallen on tough times when their offensive line is in a state where they can't sustain a running game and they're asking Joe Flacco to huck it, chuck it football.
Right, and I completely agree. And the other problem is the Ravens do not have a solid rushing game at all.
No.
They got 74 yards on 15 carries today. That sounds exactly like my poor Colts. Colts have had one 100-yard rushing game in the last, like, 6 or 7 years. So that doesn't help at all. But I don't know. Mitch, I think Trubisky's definitely a step up over Glennon, and I think it's just going to give him time. It's going to take time, but I think he's going to be much better.
Hopefully by the time they put some pieces around him, he isn't busted up and ruined like every Browns quarterback ever.
Yes,
and,
or Andrew Luck.
Yeah, and hopefully the Bears can pull it together and put a solid team around this kid because he looked like a decent quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, they're the Bears, and I know nobody expected them to do very well this year, just especially with Glennon at the helm. And I think that they're going to be able to use him as a piece to build around, and then hopefully he's not destroyed by the time they actually get all the pieces set. Let's see. Texans beat the Browns. That's not a big shocker. The Vikings beat the Packers. Of course, Aaron Rodgers went down for the season.
Yeah.
Which is a huge, huge blow.
Surgery on his right collarbone. We have a strangely large number of Packers and Vikings fans up here. You'd think it'd be more, I don't know, Seahawks, 49ers, whatever. But everybody's, you know, saying skull or, you know, being cheeseheads up here. And so that game is such an intense rivalry, especially with the Alaskan sports fans being so, I don't know, north Midwest. I don't know what that region specifically is called. Minnesota and Wisconsin. And so people were mad. Some people were mad that Aaron Rodgers got hurt, and then some people were mad that they were calling Anthony Barr's hit dirty. Did you see the hit? Do you think it's dirty?
I did see the hit, and I mean, I don't know. It was
borderline.
It was borderline because, number one, he did have time after he released the ball where, you know, Barr could have stepped off and he would have been fine. But I think if he would have hit him and not broken his collarbone, I don't think there would have been a penalty.
Yeah.
But the only reason people are freaking out is because the
Packers. It's Aaron Rodgers.
It's because it's Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers were set up to do very big things this year. So, of course, they're going to cry for help whenever they think they can. But the problem with that is once he goes down, I honestly count them out for the playoffs this year.
No.
Because with Hundley, he threw three interceptions today.
Rodgers is that whole team. Like,
yeah.
I don't know that there's any player in the National Football League that is more important to the success of their team than Aaron Rodgers. You could even argue that Tom Brady is not as important to the Patriots as Aaron Rodgers throwing off balance outside the pocket to receivers that he has made their careers other than, you know, that's the Packers offense. It's just Aaron Rodgers' magic.
I agree. And Hundley threw three interceptions in three quarters that he played today. And, I mean, they've got enough receivers, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, you know, all of them, that they could do fine in a couple games. I don't see them performing in the playoffs whatsoever.
They've got a decent receiving core. If Ty Montgomery gets healthy, he's turned into a half-decent running back from being, you know, starting out in the league as wide receiver. Their defense is – everything is decent, but it gets to be that next-level playoff caliber – could win a Super Bowl at any given time team
right.
because of the right arm of Aaron Rodgers. And if he's not there...
Right, and I mean, he's the king of the fourth quarter, you know, Hail Mary bombs.
Fourth quarter comeback.
I mean, he's done like five of those in the last couple years, so he's definitely going to be the number one reason. I don't think they do very well for the rest of the season. But another thing that surprised me was the Detroit Lions and the New Orleans Saints game. That was a total like gunslinger game, 52-38 New Orleans. I did not see that coming.
I actually had Matt Stafford benched, and he's okay because he always gets his reps in, you know. Like he's that hitter in baseball that's he's gonna take a couple hacks that trying to send one every
game.
And you know, it comes with a price though, and he throws a lot of interceptions is the thing. But so I started Deshaun Watson and Cam Newton. You know, I see Deshaun Watson as the young Cam Newton. He's just smarter with a better arm and a better team around him.
Yeah.
But Matt Stafford's so fun to watch when he gets in that mode where he's just like, I don't even care about throwing picks anymore. I'm just going for it.
Yeah,
I'm just going to send it.
For sure, because most of the time it plays off for him, but sometimes, you know, he threw three interceptions today along with three touchdowns, so obviously it works. He always gives him a chance to win, but obviously... New Orleans scored 52 points.
And, 52. That's
and sometimes, yeah. That's sometimes that's pretty hard to combat when you're the Detroit Lions with not too many good receiving players anymore. Let's see. The Patriots beat the Jets. I did not see this game being anywhere close, but it was actually kind of a nail biter.
And I still haven't seen the controversial play of. This guy runs through like four Patriot defenders and he's bragging about being in the end zone. And then the Patriots defensive backs are like, no, you fumbled the ball. And then Bill Belichick walks up to the ref and he's like, he fumbled that ball. So apparently that call got overturned because Belichick decided it was going to get overturned.
Yep.
I don't know if that's actually what happened, but very controversial call that a lot of people are unhappy about.
Yeah, and I agree. I actually didn't get to see that play either, but I heard a lot about it all over social media.
Yeah.
And it seems like whenever Bill Belichick walks out to the refs, you know hell is to pay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't expect this game to be anywhere close, but the Jets are doing much better than they projected to be. I mean, people were projecting them to go 0-for all year, not win a single game. They have a better record than the New York Giants.
They're trying to lose, and they're failing even at losing.
Yes.
That tells you about how the Jets season is going right now.
Yeah, and I think it's, for Jets fans, I think it's it's very promising because they're actually putting together wins with a very, very mediocre team.
Yeah.
like, crazy mediocre. But at the same time, I don't see them winning more than six or seven games this year. But they're doing a lot better than a lot of people expected. Redskins beat the 49ers by 2 points. That was kind of, I didn't really know how that was going to go. But Kirk Cousins is doing pretty good this year.
I feel like the 49ers at any point could just decide that they care and be like an 8-8 team. They could be a playoff team.
Or
they could beat a half-decent team. But it's hard to see the product that they put out on the field. Like, it's just hard to watch.
Right, and I don't even know who CJ Beathard is, or however you say his last name. I've never heard of that man in my whole life, but he did throw for 250 yards and a touchdown and an interception, so...
Okay.
Yeah, well, okay then. Welcome to the league, CJ. But, I mean, at the same time, I didn't expect this game to be close because Washington is doing pretty well, and it's surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals beat the Buccaneers. I figured that was going to happen with Adrian Peterson.
So AP goes from Minnesota to New Orleans. He finds nothing doing in New Orleans because they don't want to hand the ball off and they have no offensive line. Goes to Arizona, has a 2-touchdown day with 100 yards. It's like, oh, welcome back to being Adrian Peterson.
Right, and I don't know, that whole New Orleans thing was weird. Like, they only had him in on, like, third down situations with 2 yards to go. You know, they didn't let him do anything.
The man is named all day for a reason.
Right. You feed it to him all day, and he will produce all day. No, for sure. And that's what the Cardinals did, and it worked out for him because that was ultimately the X factor because they only won by 5 points. The Rams beat the Jaguars by 10. That was expected.
But. So there's a poll that one of my favorite radio broadcasters put up on their Twitter. They're like, oh, what's your favorite game? And Rams Jaguars was not up there. And those are two good looking teams right now.
They are.
The defense that the Jaguars are able to put out there, Todd Gurley, Jared Goff is honestly doing some things. Sammy Watkins has had a resurgent career in LA. That was a good game. That was exciting.
I agree. And I was bashing on Goff earlier, but he's a solid quarterback for the Rams.
He's come a long way in the offseason.
Yeah, I agree. And Bortles is, I really want to say he's awful, but he put 250 yards up today. I think they just need to move on from him. He's not producing very well.
I mean, we know he's not going to be the quarterback next year, but he's just got to get them through this year, handing the ball off to Leonard Fournette like 30 times a game.
Yeah, no, I agree. And
it's
and
not a hard life for
him. It's just like a waiting game now because all these Jaguars fans are just like, please, just get to the end of the year, get this guy out and draft somebody, and then maybe we can be okay.
Okay, so you think they're going to put some fresh spring chicken in there, or you think they're going to go after Eli Manning or, you know, don't puke when I say the name, but Colin Kaepernick or anybody, any Joe Schmo out there who's a half-decent quarterback who doesn't like their situation. Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo.
I would, honestly, if I was going to go for anybody, it'd either be Garoppolo or Brissett.
Yeah.
Because Brissett's doing pretty well with Indianapolis. I mean, as well as he can do. Mm-hmm. You know, he's no Andrew Luck. But I don't know. I think it depends on who's in the draft this year.
Yeah.
I think it really depends on how far away from the first pick they are. But if they, you know, if they end up 8-8, I don't see them going for Eli Manning or anybody like that. I think they'll probably get a young guy and try and build around him. But they've been doing that for so long. I don't know. It's like a failed experiment because they've been doing that for like the last 10 years. And it's just like, I don't know. It just seems like it's been going on way too long. They need to build the team to win now, because it's just taking forever.
All right, we're getting close to wrapping up our football coverage, but we need to rock out some more Bon Jovi. So we're going to make that happen immediately, and we'll be back with a little bit of football, a lot of baseball. You're listening to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene with me, Tim Rocky, and Peyton Garrison.
This ain't a song for the broken hearted. My life is now or never. I ain't gonna live forever.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the last segment of the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. Been jamming in here with Peyton Gerritsen. All right, Poots, we got to finish up football. Give me the last deets on what I need to know about this week of football.
All right, Steelers took down the undefeated Chiefs 19-13, which I didn't see coming, but yeah.
The Steelers got a good ball club, though.
They do. Besides, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger had that one game where he threw five interceptions.
Five picks, yeah.
Which was scary. I didn't see the Chiefs losing to the Steelers, just because Le'Veon Bell's not there.
But he was this game.
He was, yeah.
He came back.
Definitely. And I didn't think he was going to do as well as he did. But the Chargers beat the Raiders, which was kind of unfortunate. The Raiders aren't doing as well as I thought they were going to, especially with Marshawn Lynch. The Giants beat the Broncos.
Marshawn Lynch, old. Everybody loves Marshawn Lynch because Marshawn Lynch is fun and beat mode.
Skittles.
He's old. He's been old.
Yeah, he's like, old. And I think, I don't know, Derek Carr has been hurt, and it's just not a very good start to the year for them.
Yeah.
Giants beat the Broncos, which I absolutely did not see coming.
No,
finally won
saw
a game. Yeah.
They were over against a historically good Broncos defense, and they were just like, I don't know why, but this is going to happen.
This is the problem with Eli Manning. He could be awful for like the first five games, and then all of a sudden, even without all of his receivers, he beats the Broncos.
He's the weirdest streaky quarterback in existence.
He's like a freak of nature. It's weird.
All right. We've got 5.5 minutes to talk baseball, and I know you want to talk baseball.
I do.
I know what kind of fan you are.
Oh, yes.
Tell me what kind of fan you are and what you think is going to happen with your team.
Okay.
Just go for it.
All right.
Riff.
All right, so the Los Angeles Dodgers, the best team arguably in baseball. They had the best record of the entire regular season, 104-58, which is amazing. They had kind of a crappy end of the year, but they've definitely not lost any momentum. Playing the Chicago Cubs, they're up 2-0 in the NLCS. Kershaw did amazing his first game. I think that was a big game for us. He did really well. Game 2 was one of the best postseason games I've ever watched.
So take me through game 2.
All right. So,
and how are you seeing it? Tell me from as a fan standpoint.
Okay. So
don't be an analyst up in the studio.
Right. Right. Okay. So it starts off. Rich Hill is on the bump, and Rich Hill is awesome. I love Rich Hill. He usually is always really good. He gives up a home run to Addison Russell in the fifth inning. And really, there was no offense in the game at all for either team. That homer was the only run they were going to score all night. And then Turner, Justin Turner, as clutch as they come, singled to right in the fifth inning. Charlie Culberson scored, tied the game up. Go to the bottom of the ninth, game tied.
Bottom nine.
Game tied. The Cubs bring in John Lackey.
Why?
Because I don't think not having Wade Davis, I don't think they were very comfortable with letting anybody else get the ball besides Lackey. So Puig and Chris
Puig
Taylor.
Puig, your friend.
I love Puig is doing amazing this year. I love him. They both get on with walks. He walks both of them. And so brings up Justin Turner. And absolutely the worst person to bring up in that spot is Justin Turner. The bottom nine, two
swinging
outs.
Swinging out of his John Hine parts.
Yes.
With the power of the red beard
the
behind
red beard.
Every cut.
Yes, he looks like that big, big man from Game of Thrones. but basically, bottom of the ninth, two outs, two guys on bases, and what does he do? Takes John Lackey deep
Yak
center
sauce.
Field. Deep center field. He knew it right away.
Walk-off bomb.
Walk off on the anniversary of the 1988 Kirk Gibson pump the fist
so
World
nice.
Series game winner. So it was truly magical, and it was one of the most fun games I could watch, and could not have asked for a better ending.
All right, so what's got to happen in game 4 for the Dodgers to pull it off to win the series, and who do you want them facing in the World Series?
Okay, so game 3 is next, and they're going to have Yu Darvish on the bump. And I think that's good. And they're facing Kyle Hendricks, which is all right. I really would have liked to see Alex Wood on the bump for game 3 just because he was awesome in the regular season. He had something like 18 wins and 2 losses or something like that with a sub-3 ERA. And that was awesome because he's been really good, but he's young. So Darvish, if we can win the game with Darvish, if we can just claw our way through this game.
Save the bullpen a little bit.
Save the
hopefully.
Bullpen, yep. Not have to use Jansen too much. I think if we can win game 3, that sets us up for a great, great run because we still got Kershaw. He's going to have 4 days rest. You got Kenley Jansen. You got Alex Wood. You got a bunch of guys in there that can do some damage. I really, really want to see Dodgers-Yankees.
Yankees.
I do not.
That would be so fun.
I do not want to see the Astros in the World Series. I am scared of the Stros. Altuve, after he hits 4 dingers, dude.
Old man Justin Verlander got you shaking in your boots.
Oh,
huh?
He does. They scare me. But I think this year with the pitching, it could go either way. I think the Dodgers are definitely going to have to be on their stuff to win. But I think they definitely can win it all this year, for sure.
Peyton, thanks so much for coming into the studio and having a good time talking sports with me.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you having me. You're listening to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene on 89.5 FM, Big Cabbage Radio. Boom. Boom.
Hey, huge shout out to Peyton Gerritsen. It was a lot of fun kicking it with him in the studio. And I think he held his own. I think he did a pretty good job. So, we might have to have him back on the show sometime pretty soon. The end of the third quarter in Cleveland for the start of the NBA season. Cavaliers lead 72-71. Here's the story in this one. A couple minutes into the game, new player and Big Three member in Boston, Gordon Hayward suffers a gruesome broken ankle. It is disgusting. Definitely do not go watch that YouTube video. Definitely, definitely don't do that at all. The Dodgers are leading the Chicago Cubs 2-1 in game 3. Yu Darvish is throwing a gem. He gave up a homer to Kyle Schwarber. Andre Ethier and Chris Taylor solo homered for the Dodgers. That's bottom third. And the American League Championship Series is tied at 2 games apiece. New York 6-4 winners in the Bronx over Houston. That's my time. Hope you had a good one. I'm Tim Rock. I'm out. It's all right.